Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room.
Gregory Keene turns page 34 of Dossier on Demetrius.
Not only had Demetrius failed to dispose of Peter Ridgway, but through a heavy truck blowing a tire in the Whitechapel Road and crashing into a taxicab, we also had Margaret Ridgway, alive and well. Her brother was still hanging on to his life by the skin of his teeth. He still hadn't been conscious for more than a few minutes at a time, but through the newspapers, and purely for Demetrius's benefit, we'd published the report that Ridgway was dead. The morning after the accident, I went over it with Margaret Ridgway at the hospital, and the results were something less than good. So you discovered nothing about Demetrius but the fact that he whistles all the time. And if I want to know anything else, I'm to ask Hedy Bergner. Is that right, Miss Ridgway?
Yes.
Suppose you tell me why.
I was in that room wherever they took me with Demetrius. I was tied to a chair. I told him he was a jackal, a butcher, hiding behind a ridiculous name. I said nothing about him was real.
How real does he have to be?
Listen, he said, would he be real if he kissed me? And I said, why not? I wouldn't be able to give him away to Hedy.
Well?
Then he said, and I can hear that monster now, he said, if there was a chance for you before, there's certainly none now. Now you have to go.
And on the strength of that, you want me to believe that Hedy's mixed up with Demetrius?
Oh, I know she is.
How could he let you go anyway? Of what significance to your living or not had any mention of Hedy Bergner? Oh, it won't do, Margaret.
But you must believe what I tell you. I know. Can't you understand that? From the change in his voice when I mentioned her, from the start it gave him, from the finality in his tone when he told me there was no chance for me now. Major Gregory Keene, you have to believe what I'm telling you.
Listen to me, Margaret. For weeks and weeks, three men working together and in shifts have been following Hedy Bergner every step she takes. A telephone is tapped and a record made of every word uttered over it. If Hedy has anything to do with Demetrius, she takes no part in his activities, none whatsoever. She doesn't communicate with him. She doesn't see him.
But she must, I tell you. Peter's certain of her. So's Digby Mitchell. But you've blinded yourself.
I have not blinded myself. I know the girl.
You're in love with her.
I know the girl, and I tell you, Margaret, it's inconceivable that she should be involved with such a creature as this Demetrius.
Oh, Keene, when will you open your eyes?
What is there to involve her, anyway? She asked an American for his address at Northfield Aerodrome, and she told your brother to meet her at the Gloucester Road tube station. And from that, you and your idiot of a brother...
He's not an idiot.
All right, your brother, then. Your brother and you and Mitchell all jumped to the conclusion that the girl's one of Demetrius's people. Quite disregarding all we know about her to the contrary. Quite disregarding the fact that Demetrius tried to kill her. We've looked into her background from the day she arrived in this country, from Vienna 12 years ago.
All right, Keene. Let it go. If you'd rather hang on to your illusions about Hedy than catch Demetrius.
Very well. Maybe this will show you if I'm afraid of losing my illusions. Is that phone connected?
Oh, I expect so.
Good. Can I have an outside line, please? Major Keene in Miss Ridgway's room. Thank you. You know, when you've seen as much of this sort of thing as I have, Margaret, you'll realize it'd be a physical impossibility. Oh, hello. Keene here. Where was Hedy Bergner, and what was she doing at the last report? Yes. Yes. Right. Thank you.
Well?
5 minutes ago, Hedy walked into Lion's Corner House at Piccadilly Circus. She ordered tea and two crumpets. She's at a table for two with a gentleman wearing a monocle who is a stranger to her. He was there when she arrived.
Do bring me some more tea, will you? This is quite cold.
Yes, miss.
We're being watched, bookman. Could you possibly give me a light?
Certainly, miss. Which?
Grey hair and a trench coat. Half right behind me.
Here's your key, miss.
Oh, thank you. Would you pass the sugar, please? When do I meet him?
3 o'clock sharp.
Rubenstein Galleries?
3 o'clock sharp. My bill, if you please, miss.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God. I'm glad he's gone. These men of Keene's who follow me everywhere. Does Keene think I'm blind? Now I have to stuff myself with these wretched crumpets. Oh, well. It's all for a good cause. The Rubenstein Gallery's at 3 o'clock.
That clock's at least 8 minutes fast. Why is it that really good antiques so seldom tell you the time? One moment there, you.
Yes, sir?
Be kind enough to tell Monsieur Rubenstein that I will not wait forever. Never mind, here he is now.
Ah, my dear Mr. Derry. How extremely good of you to wait. How do you do?
How do you do?
A thousand apologies, my dear fellow. And what can I do for you?
You have a Delvaux, a Paul Delvaux, Temptation of St. Anthony, that rather takes my eye. Tell me something about it, would you?
Well, it's quite good, you know. Not Delvaux's best work, but far, far from his worst.
Right.
An extraordinary fellow, Delvaux. Some of his paintings lively and varied enough to satisfy the most exacting taste. And some of it scarcely art at all.
Now, if I might interrupt, what's the time by you? And not by that Louis XIV thing over there.
I make it 1 minute to three.
Yes. Well, where's your office?
At the rear, on the left. But the St. Anthony...
We can take up the subject of the St. Anthony later on, my dear Rubenstein. At 3 o'clock, a young lady will enter the gallery. She will give her name. Miss Delahaye, my sister, you know. I want you to give instructions that she is to be shown to your office where she will join us.
Mr. Delahaye, happy as I would be to give you the run of my galleries, I would much rather invite people to my office.
Would you? Then perhaps I had better explain why you have no further to say in the matter.
Are you serious?
No, I'm jesting. I just thought how amusing it would be if your name were actually Reuben Janus. Control yourself. If your name were Reuben Janus, and if you were the person who betrayed the Duchamp, the Masson, the Leger, and so many others to the Gestapo...
Not here. Not here, I implore you. Come. Come, I will show you the way.
Have you forgotten these instructions about Miss Delahaye?
One moment, I will attend to it. Henri, a young lady will arrive at any moment. And will you please show her into my office?
1 million sterling almost in our hands.
I dropped Keane's man at Madame Reynard's. He's still outside, thinking I'm being fitted for clothes.
I'm glad of that. Would have been very diverting for the poor chap to have had to stand about pretending to admire Rubenstein's Mondrians. Rubenstein?
Who? Who are you?
Get out of here for a while. We have a long discussion with you later about your position and your future. You know enough already to do precisely as you're told, I hope.
Tell me, who are you?
Patience, my dear fellow. Just get out for a while.
Very well. I go. But whoever you are...
Get out. Now, Hedy, you've seen the papers, I expect.
I'm frantic. Margaret Ridgway, how much does she know?
She knows nothing. The only name she heard mentioned was Leo Klein's, and he was killed when the truck crashed into his cab. Actually, it's a good thing he was. Nevertheless, we have to act quickly. Just once I made the smallest slip when she mentioned you.
Does that mean Keane will know about me?
It's just one minute thing he may add to the others. Getting the American's address and making the rendezvous with Ridgway.
Well, what must I do?
Nothing. We're still safe, but we're going to make a slight withdrawal. I've not too much confidence in Mazzotti, so I'm taking him out of the Red Feathers Club and keeping him at the sanatorium. Frankie Carl can run the club. It may still come in useful.
What about me? How will I know if Keane is beginning to suspect me?
You must do everything you can to find out. And if he does, then you'll have to go out of circulation, too.
So we'll all be at the sanatorium. Mazzotti and me and Yachty Blum.
In a week, we won't be here in London at all. Don't worry, we can't fail. Rubenstein's going to be easier than I expected.
And if the worst comes to the worst, we can even move in with him. Do you know he lives in a large apartment immediately above these galleries?
Well, whatever we have to do, let's do it quickly. Keane may not suspect me, but I'm followed and watched 24 hours a day, and my telephone is tapped. I can't keep it up much longer. I'm a woman. I'm not made of steel like you.
Once we've settled with Rubenstein, you may be as womanly as you please. It shouldn't be difficult with £1 million to play with in South America. There's a certain republic whose people are sympathetic. Quite a number of us are there already.
No, it's only a dream. I can't convince myself that we'll ever get there.
Then press that button for Monsieur Rubenstein. In an hour's time, after we've made him understand what we want, we'll be that much nearer bringing the dream to reality. And after doing so well for so long, Heidi, don't disappoint me now.
Yes. Yes, Keane speaking. Oh, it's the hospital cuts. Yes. Oh, that's splendid. Splendid. Yes, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. Goodbye, Doctor. Well, Cutts, bring the car round at the double. Peter Ridgway is conscious and he has something to tell us. This time, we're really getting somewhere. At last, we were going to learn something concrete about Demetrius. But on the way to the hospital, I wondered if I was going to hear something I didn't want to. About Heidi. I couldn't believe what Margaret Ridgway insisted on. I simply couldn't. But soon, I had to.
What clue does Keane get from Peter Ridgway? Listen to the next chapter in this story of suspense, Dossier on Demetrius.